I was involved with the Cardinal Cushing Games with John Kerry O'Donnell in the early 60s. And I was with 30 players who went over to New York to play in these charity matches. John Kerry O'Donnell was a great friend of Jack Dempsey's, the Manassas Mauler, as he was called then, one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time, who had, of course, a very Irish background. And I said to him that I was thinking of going up to Broadway to where Jack Dempsey had his pub. And John Kerry O'Donnell said to me, "No," he says, "I know him. And if, when you're ready to go up, I'll phone to see is he there and we'll make arrangements for you to meet him." John Kerry O'Donnell rang me where I was staying in New York and said that Jack Dempsey will be in his pub at 11:30 in the morning. So I went over to Broadway and I knew very well I had no recorder with me. So I went into a store beside Jack Dempsey's place that sold records and recorders and various things. And I hired a recording machine from there, went in and I met Jack Dempsey. And it was one of the great experiences of my life for the simple reason that here was a man world famous. And here I am in the flesh meeting the very same famous man. He was a marvellous character and a very kind, considerate person because he said, "If we're going to do an interview," he says, and he called me Sean, had a lovely American accent, and he says, "I know a lot of Irish guys here, so I'm delighted to meet you." So he says, "I tell you what, we'll turn down the music in the background," which I didn't really know was on when I went to do this interview, turned it down, sat down, and he regaled me for about an hour with stories of his past, of his boxing prowess and what he did and what he didn't do, and the great joy it would have been had he got back to Ireland, which wasn't possible at the time because the war was coming up and all that sort of thing. Now, I had tried out the recorder before I went in the shop, and I played it back and it was perfect. So I said, "I've no problem now. I just use up the tape that I got with the recorder." Went in and I started the interview and he told me all about his boxing career and the years outside the ring and the private fights that he had and various things like that. It was a fascinating story, no doubt about that. And I felt very chuffed about this because I had got something that nobody else in Ireland had done, an interview with the famous Jack Dempsey. So I went over to a friend of mine in Aer Lingus, a school chum of mine who was there, and I asked him, would he ever get that tape back to Philip Green in Radio Erden? He said there was no problem because he was going back in a few days and he would bring it with him. And this he did. Now, a few days afterwards, I got a ring from Jack Shapiro, who was the manager of Jack Dempsey's bar. And he says, "I have a famous boxer here that you might be interested in having a word with." And his name was Mickey Walker. I think he was the flyweight champion of the world. And he says, "He's here on a visit, but unfortunately, Jack isn't here." So he said, "Would you like to meet him?" And I said, "I would love to meet him." And he was a small man. He was about 5'6" or so, but very well built and still very fit looking. And he told me the story of his life and that his great fear was of flying. And he had Mayo roots, like Dempsey, but his great fear was in flying and he wouldn't fly anywhere. So when I got back to RTE and I came in with my hopes soaring that I had sent on two great interviews to Phil Green, one with Jack Dempsey and other with Mickey Walker. And Phil Green had a face on him and he says, "What do you mean sending me over those tapes? It was all goggly gook. I couldn't make out one word on that tape." And I said, "It was perfect when I sent it over." He says, "It wasn't perfect when it arrived because," he says, "I spent days trying to get some reasonable chat out of that interview and I couldn't do it." The end story was, as it's explained to me afterwards, the recorder I used, one tape went onto the other as it was going around. There was no little bobbin in the centre as we would have normally on recording machines. So in other words, that the little bobbin kept the rate of the tape going at a regular speed. But once there was no bobbin there and the tape went from one side to the other tape, it was all goggly goop because they said it when it was put on a proper machine, it never played properly. And that was the end of my two great scoops on my trip to America.